I'd like to once again welcome my friend Kathy to the show. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Anne. It's great
happy
to be
birthday.
Back.
Yay, everybody, it's
thank
happy
you.
Birthday today.
Oh.
Right, we can
yes,
all talk happy
birthday. Oh, I had, it was so funny because earlier when I called Anne's house, I'm going to tell you, Anne. Earlier when I called Anne's house, I immediately, instead of anyone saying hello, they sang happy birthday to me. And you have to know in Anne's home that the dog also sings. So their dog Penny sang happy birthday to me as well. It was amazing.
Well, I don't know if you could hear the rest of us. Hold on, that noise
going. Oh, it was hilarious. So I'm having such a blessed day. It's been good. I turned 45 today. It's just amazing. So
congrats. I can't believe you're spending your birthday with us.
Oh, I can't. No, I feel very blessed to be spending it with you. So I can't be with you in person. It's great to be with you on the show.
And it's going to be really fun to talk to real people today, too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, I have just a few people still logging on, and I thought, why don't we give them a few more minutes? I can see people trying to get in. So, Kathy, we have had quite an amazing 7 weeks. We have talked about so many things. And I had a lot of memories this week as I went back through all my notes and reminded me of all the conversations we've had and the questions. And I've just been humbled by the amount of emails we've received this week and so many good questions. I suppose I better be quiet and start talking about through these questions. But I'm just amazed. And I want to remind all of our listeners that, you know what, I do not have all the answers. But God is an amazing God, and we have found in our lives as a family that when we pray and ask Him for wisdom, He answers every time, as His Word promises that He will.
Absolutely.
And that's going to be true for all of you guys, too. So, okay, if I have a listener and you have a question that you would like to start in and be brave and be the first one to ask, just go ahead and press the number 1. Otherwise, just listen in and enjoy our class today, and we have plenty of questions here that we can answer from our email. So, Kathy, what do you think we should start with today?
Well, I think we should get one of the hard ones out of the way.
Oh, okay.
We're just going to dive in, because last week you had mentioned that someone had a very urgent email and that they were saying, what happens if I have something urgent, an urgent case, that I can't possibly wait for 40 days to record all my symptoms and such, and I can't wait or have the time to do the research. I need an answer right now. I need it today. What do I do?
Wow. Yes, I remember when we got that email, and if I recall, the situation was cancer, and the person was saying it's in a later stage, and I don't know what to do. I don't have a lot of time. And by the way, I did email her back. I haven't left her hanging for the show today. And honestly, I had to talk to my husband about this one too and get some advice from him. But you know what? When you have an urgent case, I don't know how many of you were able to listen to class number 7, where we had a ladder. And on that ladder, it listed some things that you need to do if you get sick. The first one was check your diet. And the second rung of that ladder, which is just a little bit more intervention, is to start in with herbs and some of the things that God has created that we know are healing. And thirdly is to head into medicine that sometimes bypasses the systems that God has put into place in our body, but it goes directly to symptoms and tries to give us some relief. And then the final rung of that ladder would be surgery or other major interventions. And I think that the advice that I would say for this person, when you have an urgent case, you jump up that ladder much more quickly. Sometimes we don't have time to sit around and see if herbs would help, or maybe changing our diet. We might not have that much time to make that fast, a change that's going to make much difference in a matter of a few days. And so probably for this person, she just really needs to get on the phone, and obviously she has already, and get in touch with a doctor and jump right into some of those heavy interventions. Having said that, the higher up the ladder you go and the more you get into interventions, the more you have side effects and the more she's going to deal with all of that. And the person that I was emailing with has had quite a few side effects from morphine and from some of these other things. And you know what? I think we need to hurry and get in that ladder and hurry up and quickly intervene, but then back down the ladder and say, now, wait a minute. I think of Asa, the king that we were talking about last week. and how he only went to the doctors when he had a problem with his feet, and he never sought the Lord. And that is a temptation when we're in such a panic situation, something that needs to happen very quickly. Sometimes we forget about God, and so I would recommend that that person try to have a retreat of some sort. Maybe they can take a day or two and get away and spend some time in prayer and with their Bible and find out, what does God want me to do in this situation, and spend time with their family and get some advice from them as well. So I don't know. Do you think I answered that one, Kathy?
That's good. And I wanted to mention, I know that we had a precious lady in our church that was going through cancer, and she had written a letter of when she first found out about it, God had, I need to go back to the letter, but she was challenging all of us to write down at least four things that we were that were blessings each day, and it ties in with last week's about a merry heart, and we've watched her through this whole process, and God is healing her, and it's just been, and her spirit is so beautiful through this whole experience, and so I guess I would just add that as they retreat and spend time with God to daily, start, recording and speaking blessings, the blessings that they do have, and just the importance of praise. Praise is so powerful. And,
you know what verse we found today in our homeschooling and our Bible this morning? It was such a neat verse, and it fits. I was wondering where I could share this today, and it fits perfectly. Proverbs 14:30, and this is from the NIV. It says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." Isn't that neat? A heart
That's
at
very
peace.
Very good.
Yeah, so you're right on, Kathy. And realizing that in the midst of a very difficult situation, if we can find our peace in God and knowing that His heart, or that He gives us perfect peace when our heart is stayed in Him, that He gives us that peace, and in that it gives life to our body. That is a really neat.
Excellent. Thing. Yeah. Would you like another question, Anne?
Well, sure. Why not?
I have lots of questions, but if there's someone calls in,
I don't have anyone waiting at me. So again, if you'd like, let me give that phone number again in case someone's joining us live or a little bit late. And the phone number is 646-727-1642, and you need to press the number 1 when you get in there, and wave at me, and that will help me know that you have a question. Okay, I'll be quiet, Kathy.
Okay, well, this one I really relate to. It talks about I weighed 140 pounds in high school. In 15 years, I gained enough weight that now I weigh over 300 pounds, and I don't know where to start. And I can relate to this person because I have gained significantly since high school. I've tried lots of different things, and it works only for short periods of time, and then it's just a yo-yo and effect. And so so the question is, you get to the point where you don't even know where to start.
Well, you're giving me the hard ones first. Losing weight is something we have not talked about losing weight very much at all in these classes, and yet that's a hot topic. It's something that almost all of us deal with at some point or another in our lives. And I'm going to, maybe if you've got a piece of paper and a pen and you're listening to this question and wanting to know the answer, here are some things that I would do to start. First of all, I would recommend a book, okay? I know that's my answer a lot, but it's a very good book. It's called A Life Unburdened, A Life Unburdened, and the author is Richard Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S, and his story and how this basically is exactly what happened to him, and he just gained amazing amounts of weight, and he talks about the problems that the weight caused in his life and what he did to lose the weight, and it was not a quick fix for him. He really did have to make some lifestyle changes, but here are some things that I would recommend quickly. First of all, I would get rid of anything in your diet that is MSG-related, and we talked about this in week 4, so if you haven't listened to all the classes back and you want to go back and listen to class number 4, Satan's Sabotages, and MSG is a neurotoxin that confuses our brains and causes us to do all kinds of things, one of which can be to gain weight, but MSG is a class of food that the food industry hides, and you're not going to see it listed necessarily as monosodium glutamate or MSG on a label. And so that's why I recommend that you go back to class 4 and get the list of ingredients that you need to avoid. And for this man in the book, A Life Unburdened, really the only thing he could do is make all of his food from scratch at home. And that's what we've been talking about in these classes, that how do you actually go about doing that. And the second thing, and this affects women more than men, but it also affects men, is to check your hormone levels. Go to the doctor and insist that you find out what your hormones are doing. And the specific hormones you want to check are your thyroid hormones and your adrenal hormones. And your doctor will know that, but you could go to my website and click on articles, and there are articles there that list specific lab work that you can have done. And you need to check your hormone levels, because since we're all eating normal American food and we're all having these neurotoxins in our diet, the first thing that it does is it affects our endocrine system and our hormones. And when those hormones are affected, well, the thyroid gland, it turns down your thermostat of your body, and it adds fat to you to warm you up, which is exactly what you don't want to have happen when you're trying to lose weight. And the second thing is your adrenal hormones. They pump out an extremely high amount of cortisol when your body is fighting these neurotoxins or stress or a lot of other things in your life that could cause it. But you need to find out, is there a hormone problem? Because you can try every diet there is, and if there's a hormone problem underlying it, your body will continue to downregulate your metabolism, and you won't be able to lose that weight. So let's say you start making all your food from scratch. You never eat the standard American food, and that seems impossible in itself sometimes. Secondly, you've checked your hormones and you get them stabilized. Thirdly, you need to add exercise. But a lot of people tell us to start with exercise. And we're working out and we're burning calories and we're doing all this exercise when we still have the underlying neurotoxins going in and the hormone imbalances. And so I don't start with exercise. I think that should be done after you've regulated your hormones and after you've changed your diet. And I know that's not an easy answer, but that's my answer. Do you think that helps?
Yes. Let's expand a little bit. A couple of things. Could you expand on the exercise part? As far as, I know we talked a little bit about work at one point in one of the classes, but can you expand on what exercises would be good? And also the other question would be, what if they're eating because of they're emotionally upset? I think it probably has to do perhaps with their hormones. That might be where that fits in. But could we address those two things before we go on?
Sure. Okay, remind me if I forget one. But the first thing you said was exercise. Okay, exercise was something I wanted to talk about today anyway. And what is a good form of exercise? What is a not-so-helpful form of exercise? And if we're going to use our time, I don't know about you, but I'm busy. And so I want to make sure that the time I spend on exercise is well worth it. I'm going to get some results from it. And secondly, if you have a hormone problem underlying, a lot of times we are fighting fatigue, and exercise is just about the last thing that we want to do, and it's very difficult. So you're facing a lot of mental blocks against it with all the fatigue. So the two forms of exercise that I recommend, first of all, would be hard work. And I say that and I go back to Genesis, where God gave work to Adam and Eve before the curse, and it was just part of what he meant for them to do, is why he created them. And we don't have so much physical labor in our society, so I really recommend doing a form of exercise that mimics hard work. And basically what that means is that you're using large muscles and you're doing big bursts of activity. Let's say you're a farmer and you're shoveling hay out of the back of a wagon. Okay, you're not going to do that. It's not like an aerobic exercise where you're going to do it for 60 minutes and check your heartbeat. you're going to be shoveling hay out really quick, and you shovel it out, and then you take a break, and then you shovel some more, or you're lifting firewood and carrying it in the house, or you're carrying big buckets of water, back to Pioneer Woman kind of a thing. And so you want to mimic hard work, which is lifting heavy, heavy things and using your muscles, but for short bursts. And I can if you'd like some help on that, a good one to check out is called PACE, P-A-C-E, and I don't have the link handy in front of me, but I know there's a link on my website, and I'll try to flag that for people that might be wanting to come and see that later today. Okay, so if you maybe check back after supper tonight, I'll try to have that on the articles page, and you can find that quickly.
Wonderful.
And PACE is a program that's been recommended for that. Other kinds of exercise are things where you're lifting your own body weight, because, again, that's mimicking hard work. Let's see. There's a second form of exercise that is good, and that is a form of exercise that stretches you and gives you good posture so that your lymph glands can work properly, your blood can flow, you can get circulation to all the different parts of your body, and those are a little bit calmer and quieter. And I don't recommend yoga because I'm concerned about the underlying spiritual problems with yoga and the meditation that's involved in how that takes you into Eastern religions, and I just don't recommend it at all. But I do recommend a company called Praise Moves, and I'll stick that with that PACE program online, but it's Praise Moves, and it's similar to yoga, but she focuses all your attention on God while you're doing it, and it's just really neat because it refreshes my mind spiritually while I'm exercising. So those are the two things. And, you know, just simply having good posture throughout the day is a form of exercise. I know that sounds silly. Taking a walk is mimicking hard work, but sometimes that's a very blessed place that someone could start, especially if they're fighting fatigue or health problems. So those are
good. I like the walks, especially with the weather changing. Now it's good to get out and get some fresh air and sunshine.
That's right. And you're getting sunshine and good oxygen in your lungs and all of those things that are just, you know, it's so mindless. We don't have to think about it, but God created all those things. And again, it's just so much simpler to do it the easy way, like he created it.
You think of the changes of how we've changed throughout time and how that used to be very normal for them, for people to walk everywhere and for, you know, for work to, you know, be more involved than it is now. And so it.
I think of some of these young moms that are listening, and they might have, let's say there's a young mom listening and has four kids, and their ages 1, 2, 3, and 4. I doubt
working hard.
Exercise is her problem.
Yeah.
You know, she's probably getting quite a bit of exercise. She's lifting things. You know, she's lifting toddlers that are 30, 40, 50
That's true.
Pounds. And she's vacuuming, and she's doing dishes, and she's carrying in groceries, and she's carrying things on both hips and on both shoulders. And I doubt that exercise is her problem. And
true.
Most of the time, fatigue is her problem. And quite honestly, I think that rest is sometimes more biblical than exercise for some of these women that are really trying to do it all. So
that's good. Well, the second half of that question was about,
yes.
You know, what if I'm eating things just because I'm emotionally upset? Or it could be, you know, emotionally upset, I'm lonely, I'm tired. What if that's why I'm eating? What do I do? What do I do to break that?
Well, okay, I'm not going to put you on the spot, Kathy.
Well, you can.
Great question. But going back to our classes and what we learned, I'm just going to go ahead and say, but if you're listening and you're trying to review back in your notes, going back to session one, there's two things here. It doesn't necessarily mean you have a spiritual problem, but that'd be the first thing I would check. First, go to God. Go to his presence and find out, God, is there anything in my life that maybe there's a void that could only be filled by you and cannot be filled by anything else, not by food, not by a relationship, not by a marriage, not by money, not by any of these things. And you need to go to God and say, God, I need to find my satisfaction only in you. And so that has to be my first response when I hear that. But I also, that's a stereotype of sorts. And so my second thing would be to check. A lot of times when we're craving things, we're craving them when we are in fatigue, and those cravings are a result. I'm going to go back to it again, that MSG and those neurotoxins that we're taking in, maybe it's a hormone imbalance, maybe our insulin levels are off. It's kind of the same answer as someone that's losing weight for any other reason as well, and that maybe you're craving something and you're beating yourself up about it. Every day you're feeling so guilty saying, I'm trying to trust God. I'm trying not to worry. I'm trying to do it all right. But I still have these cravings. I just can't. And so I would recommend that someone check their diet and see, you know what, maybe there's a neurotoxin somewhere that's sneaking in. Read all the labels on everything you're eating. See if you can find out what that problem is. And a lot of times it's just a little bit of junk food that crept in and we didn't catch it, and that can help get rid of our cravings.
Awesome.
Okay. Well,
are you ready for another question, or do we have a listener?
I have some callers online. I'm kind of wondering if any of them have a question, and the little raise your hand thing isn't working. I'm not sure. Tell you what. Well, let's take one more question, and then we're going to try something, okay?
Okay.
Another question.
Okay. This one has to do with allergies. This is from an email that was received. I'm allergic to everything. It makes me miserable. What can I do? And especially this person is allergic to gluten sensitivities, chemical, and seasonal allergies.
Oh, she's miserable. I feel sorry for those that have gluten sensitivities, because that really limits your diet. You know, you can't have wheat and you can't have this and that and the other, all these carbs, and it makes it so difficult. And then she says she's had chemical sensitivities and seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that probably feels like she needs to live in a bubble and not come out of her house.
Oh.
And, boy, I'm sorry for people like that. Let me give you a quick answer that I think that will really help. Two things you can have checked. When you talk with your doctor, a lot of the times they will treat the symptoms because they want you to feel better. You came to them, let's say you came to the doctor and you just have hay fever, okay? They want you to feel better. They're compassionate people, and they're going to give you a medication that's going to cover up your symptoms. It's going to make your nose stop running and make you stop sneezing, but it doesn't tell you why you've got that allergy in the first place. So I'm not necessarily blaming the doctor, but instead of going to them right when you're in the middle of your seasonal allergy, see if you can schedule an appointment sometime for a checkup and get some blood work run on two different systems of your body. You want to get checked, first of all, your immune system, because your immune system obviously controls how your body reacts. Your immune system is turned on funny, and it's attacking things that it shouldn't be attacking. For instance, it's attacking gluten, and it shouldn't be. That's a good food that God made. Or it's attacking chemicals, your environment, or you know, pollen, or this or that, and it shouldn't be. So have your doctor run some simple blood work on your immune system and see if there's anything funny going on. But secondly, and much more common, and I see this a lot with people, it's a sign that your adrenal glands are tired. And when they get tired, they, first of all, the first thing they do when they get tired is they send out a big burst of cortisol, and that probably is shows up in people in gaining weight. But then they get more tired after that, and you start to get allergies and asthma, and it shows up with lungs and your all of your systems that keep out the environment around you, your skin. Maybe you'll have eczema or psoriasis, things like that. All of those are a signal that you need to check your adrenal glands, and maybe you're just tired. And we go back to last week and how maybe you just need some rest and some good food. And honestly, on my website, I have gobs of stuff on the adrenal glands because that's kind of my favorite topic. And so you can go to annshealthplace.com and click on articles, and you'll see quite a few ways that you can strengthen your adrenal glands. And when you strengthen your adrenal glands, you will see a huge improvement in allergies and in psoriasis. And the third thing that goes with that is check that you're not afraid of everything. Check that you're not living in fear, because that wears out your adrenal glands and it can make allergies really pop up. So that's a spiritual thing that you can check. So did that help? Did I answer that one?
That's good. Can I ask you, I have something else with that, Anne. Have you did any studies or heard anything about oil of oregano? I just stumbled on that last week. And the reason I'm saying it right now is that they had mentioned, they had a book, and it had mentioned allergies in that. The book mentioned lots of different things it would be very helpful for. And I know a person could Google it and, you know, research it themselves, but I didn't know whether or not that's something you've ran across.
I have run across it. One of the reasons that oil of oregano is going to help, and I'm just checking here. I love that we have the internet and I can look. But I am going to say that it is probably an anti-inflammatory. And then, yes, here also it has antiviral, antibacterial, antifungal. Basically what it's doing is it turns off your inflammation and it boosts your immune system. So, again, it's a sign. If oil of oregano were to help you, that basically what you've done is you've boosted your immune system, which tells me that your immune system is weak, and you need to find out why is your immune system weak. It could be that maybe you're just consuming a lot of sugar, or maybe you're not getting your rest. But if oil of oregano is helping, that's because your immune system is weak, and you need to use it, absolutely, but then find out why. So see, we've gone to an herb, that's the second rung of our ladder, and it's helping.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to go to a medical doctor, they might give you some kind of a cortisol-based shot or inhaler if you had asthma. And so you can see why those address the adrenal glands and they address the immune system. But now you need to back up and go down that ladder and find out the root cause. Why is my immune system worn out? What am I, you know, is there a lifestyle change that I need to make? And that'll help you long term. Does that help?
That's good. Yeah, that's excellent. And I'm glad that you're having us look at the roots in the long term instead of just quick fixes. I mean, that's And that's what we want, is a quick fix. But in reality, that's not what we want. Reality, we want something that's lasting. So that's excellent.
I know with oil of oregano, for me, it's helped me. But as soon as I stop taking it, my problems come back. That has been my personal experience, and I know others have had better experience probably than I have. But that just tells me right there that I didn't really get to my root cause.
Sure.
So you wouldn't want to have to take it forever. boy, this woman here, if she has all of these problems, probably the oil of oregano is just going to be a drop in the bucket.
Sure.
She really needs to, it's going to have to be some major immune system and adrenal gland support to get that fixed.
Okay. Okay, so what was you going to do to see if our listeners
are
perhaps trying to raise their hand?
Okay, we have, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to, it's just about 2:30, and I have a freebie that I want to give away. I have several of these today. So if you're listening and you like freebies, I'm going to tell you about my first one, first of all. And it is, got to get my piece of paper in front of me here. We're going to give away the book Eat Fat, Lose Fat by Sally Fallon and Mary Enig. And it's a $16 value, and I am so excited I'll be able to send this to you. And here's how we're going to do it. And this was Kathy's fabulous idea. We're going to give you a question, something that we talked about earlier in these classes. And the first one that knows the answer, you need to call in to our phone number and tell us the answer. And the first one that does that and has the right answer gets the prize. So let's see how this works, everybody. And you want to? I'll give you a second to get to your phone, and I'm going to give you the number again, okay? It's area code 646-727-1642. And I'm going to give it to you one more time. It's 646-727-1642. Okay, so.
And then do they need to push 1 then once they get on that far?
No, you don't even have to try to push 1 as fast as possible, because I'll see you
click
on. And I'll just unmute you and ask you the question. So I'm going to put someone on the spot here, okay?
All right, here we go.
All right, the first question we're going to give you, I hope it's not too hard. We're going to go back to lesson 3, and we had a stool, three legs of a nutrient stool, and there are three kinds of nutrients that you need to consume at the same time. Do you remember what the three legs of the stool are? So is that too hard of a question? I hope not.
It's a good one.
I have the answer.
Grab the notes quickly, everyone.
All right. So if you know the answer,
go
online. I do know there's about a 30-second lag time for you guys that I'm talking and you're not hearing me for another 30 seconds or so. So we're gonna. It's like play the Jeopardy song or something. We're gonna wait a second and see who all chimes in. But I'm looking for. I do have a caller, and let's see. I'll just give it another second here and see if anyone else wants to win. And we're giving away the Eat Fat, Lose Fat by Sally Fallon and Mary Enig. And I love this book because it has not only specific help for specific concerns, but the recipes are the best. They're so good. And it's just been a really good encouragement to me. And this book just came out a couple years ago. So this is a really great prize. Okay, I'm going to put someone on the spot here. I hope I don't scare her. But I'm going to click on someone who has area code 240. And let's see here. All right, do you hear me? Are you on the phone? I'm clicking on someone that see if you might know the answer to our question. Can you hear me?
Is it me?
Yes, I think it's you. Yes, I hear you.
okay.
I don't know. Were you wanting to try to answer the question?
I will try.
All right.
enzymes, vitamins, and minerals?
You got it.
Yay. Wow.
Yay, you won. So, okay, can I ask your name, and then I will make sure to contact you after the show. And
Tracy Stewart.
All right, Tracy, congratulations. And
thank you.
I will contact you after the show, and if for some reason I don't get to you, go ahead and email me too, and we'll get that book to you.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Tracy, while you're on, did you have any question? I don't know if our little hand thing is waving right.
Well, I actually had a list, but I left them at home. but one of the things I was thinking was a lot of the stuff that I've heard, like in the Nourishing Traditions cookbook and from you, is not using plastic with a lot of liquids, using metal or glass. But what about the lids? They all still have plastic lids.
Very good. Okay. Do you want me to mute you? And that way you don't have to worry. Okay, I will do that. And if you have another question, just press 1, and I will be happy to call on you again, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. All right, Tracy, that is a fabulous question. Excellent question. When we are cooking in our kitchen and when we are storing our food, do we use plastic? We know not to use plastic containers because we talked about how the liquid inside leaches the plastic into our food. Or when you, heaven forbid, stick it in the microwave or, you know, any time that heat comes in, that just adds a whole new element and can leach a lot of toxins into our food. And if we've tried so hard to get good food, we don't want to store it and get toxins leached in. So in the Nourishing Traditions cookbook and the Eat Fat, Lose Fat books, they talk a lot about storing things in metal, in glass, in ceramic, and some of these things that won't leach, and it has to be the right ceramic on that too. But her question was, when you buy these at Walmart, Kmart, I completely understand what she's saying. You get plastic lids with them all, Pyrex, Anchor Hawking. They all come with plastic. Tracy, the only thing I can think of for myself is if it's, leftovers, and I'm storing leftovers in a Pyrex dish and it has a little blue lid on it, I try to make sure that my dish is big enough that the plastic doesn't touch. I guess there's only so much you can do, but you're right, that plastic lid is a problem because it is going to leach. But whatever you do, remove those lids when you heat it. And I'm hoping that you're heating it at like a toaster oven or inside your regular oven. But when I store food long-term, because my leftovers might only be in there a couple days, and I know that's not perfect, but when I'm storing long-term in my freezer, I do not use anything that could leach into it. At least I do my best. For instance, I will use mason jars, and I don't fill them so full that they would touch the lid. I don't know what those lids are made of, but I'm assuming it's probably aluminum. And when I'm storing like meat, you can wrap it in butcher paper, which would be less toxic than plastic. I do buy frozen vegetables, and I've wondered sometimes if that very bag, the frozen vegetables, I'm sure that's not great. But one of the things you're watching for is heat. The water that's in it absorbs the plastic, but heat is your biggest enemy. So as long as you're not reheating it and it's not touching that plastic, you're minimizing the danger. It's not really much of an answer to put aluminum foil on it because then you're putting aluminum into it. So it's just a royal pain. I maybe some company will listen to this class someday and there'll be an inventor that will invent something that will take care of these problems for us. I don't know. Do you think, Kathy, did I answer a question?
No, that's good. And, you know, you don't think about it because often, you know, you put things into plastic baggies and throw them in the freezers and our gardening season's upon us. So I'm glad this came up.
Personally, when you're using Ziploc bags, I do use Ziploc bags, and I suppose maybe we shouldn't use them at all. I don't know, but I try to put things that are only dry, and will never be heated in a Ziploc bag.
Mm-hmm.
Tracy, I'm not perfect on that one either, but it is a very good point. I'm glad you brought that
absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Good deal.
All right. Well,
it's wonderful to hear from. That was great. So
yes. All right. Let's see if any. I don't have any hands waving at me, so go ahead, Kathy. Do we have any other questions?
Oh, we have lots of questions.
Okay.
What happens if the family doesn't support you and you're wanting to make changes? You're wanting to eat healthy foods, fix healthy foods for the family, and they don't support you, they don't agree with it, they complain, they don't want to. What do you do?
Oh, boy. Now, I think that's a hard question, Kathy. That's a tough one. Let's see. If your family's not going to support you, and I'm assuming that we're talking to women here, my first answer, well, first of all, as women, we're in somewhat of a different situation. Let's say, I don't know if in this person's situation, maybe it's a husband that doesn't really want to eat right. Let's just assume that for a second, and then we'll talk about kids.
Okay.
But if your husband doesn't, now you've gone into something beyond health, and we're going into a matter of trust between a husband and a wife, and it's a much deeper issue, an issue of submission on the wife's part to what her husband's wishes are. And so this is a much deeper issue than health, because I'm assuming that our listeners want to honor God and they want to obey Him, And so, you know what, if your husband wants something that isn't healthy and that's what he's requested, I think your deeper, your first priority is to be obedient to God and to cook what he wants. And let God take care of your health and trust God that he is able to do that for you. Even though you don't understand how that could possibly work out, I do believe God could work that out. And I think that we need to honor our husbands and cook the food that they like. Now, having said that, there's a lot of food that we can cook. I think sometimes husbands complain because it just doesn't taste good. and sometimes our healthy food, you know, for me, I'm really honest confessions here, I'm not that great of a cook. And it's not a passion for me to cook. I love to read. That is my passion. I could read all day long, but put me in the kitchen and I'm like, oh, how's the fastest I can get out of this kitchen? I don't really want to be in here. And so a lot of the times I'd slap food together and throw it in a pan and say, this is dinner. Eat it. It's good for you. And it doesn't taste good. And so I think maybe when it comes to husbands, the fastest way to man's heart is through his stomach, you know, and learn how to make your food taste good. And I suppose that means we have to make a commitment to learning how to become a better chef and how to add flavor and seasoning and really get to know our husbands. They're supposed to be our best friends and find out what is it that they want in their food. Let's, you know, get down to the root of the matter. And we spend time and love on our husbands like that. That's going to help the relationship, and it becomes not really an issue about what you're eating, but that you're trying to please them, and you're trying to, you know, to spend time with them and do things special for him, and that is surely going to help the relationship. Mm. So I really think that's probably a deeper issue than sure. Let's talk about kids for a second. I have 6 kids, and no way do they all like the same things. In fact, I put on my website today that our family likes goulash. I know Soner said that, and one of my daughters came up to me and said, because we were having leftover goulash for lunch today, so it must have been on my brain. And she came up to me and says, goulash again, I hate goulash. And I said, oh, no, I just said on my website that you like goulash. But anyway, there's no way I can please 6 kids, no way. So, you know, maybe somewhat they, for children, it's a little different than husbands because somewhat you're the mom and they need to eat what you serve. But on the other hand, you know, with your kids, you can get them in the kitchen with you and find out what do they like and then get on Google and find out how to make what they like from scratch. And a good example, if you go to my blog, it's anneelliott.com/blog, you will find that we just had a big conversation about Pop-Tarts because my kids like Pop-Tarts. And I have to admit, they're kind of good. I like them too. And, of course, they're filled with everything terrible. I am not endorsing Pop-Tarts. But someone had posted a recipe for homemade Pop-Tarts, and it's a divine recipe. It's really good. But it's not terribly healthy even still. It doesn't have any MSG, though. Has no natural flavors because that's Pop-Tarts are loaded with natural flavors. So I don't think there's any fruit anywhere in sight in a real Pop-Tart. But so the real ones are loaded with all these neurotoxins, and at home I could make them from scratch, and I might use white flour, and I might use white sugar, and I wouldn't recommend you do that all the time. It should probably be a special treat for like a birthday or Christmas or something. But even with the white flour and the white sugar, making it at home, you've made it so much better, and you can have fun with the kids. You can get them in there and put sprinkles all over it and put frosting on it, and they would think that was great, and they're very likely to want to eat it. So I think with our kids, we can get them on our side if we get them in the kitchen with us and we get their help making a menu and we get them, you know, them adding the vegetables to the soup and letting them chop things. And do you think that's an idea, Kathy? You have kids. What would you do?
my girls are grown almost. Can you believe that? But definitely having them get involved. And Katie's been very involved with the changes that we've made in our home. So that's definitely very important to get them in there. And I always ask her, you know, what would you like me to get at the store, you know, this week? What are you hungry for? And it's helpful that she's very health conscious, but it also helps me to give her that variety that she's, you know, needing and looking for. So definitely get their input.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the Bible says in anything we do when we teach our kids, and our goal, I'm sure, is to have our kids grow up to know what good health is and to not have all these battles and problems that we've all had to deal with. And we want them to be well-educated. But as the Bible says when we're teaching them anything, it's as you walk and as you sit and as you lie down and as you, you know, have it posted around your house. And no matter whether we're talking about theology or math, multiplication tables or health, it doesn't matter. It's really the same method when we teach our family these things. We just talk about it, and we don't make them our enemy and we're the meanie in the kitchen making them eat things, but we get on the same team together, and we just make it part of our everyday life together. Now, that's different than husbands. Husbands, you know, they're the king. That's their house, and if they want Pop-Tarts, we better give them Pop-Tarts and then just pray. But I think even husbands, if we have a right attitude towards them and treat them with respect and love and friendship, they might come around too.
Absolutely. Yeah, that kind of steps on my toe just a little bit. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I've struggled with, you know, I haven't eaten pork for, you know, for a while now. I don't know if it's a year yet. I don't know, but my husband, you know, he was raised on a farm and he loves working with swine. In fact, that was his career for many, many, many years.
Sure.
And so he loves pork products. And so we still have some. Usually he's the one purchasing them. And so you stepped on my toes, and I need to be more. I need to honor him in that area. So thank you for doing that.
Sure. Sure. And you know, pork is a tough one and a good compromise food, and I'm going to give you a compromise that's got problems. So nobody gasp and fall over on me, but a good compromise would be for my family would be to go get some turkey ham or maybe some turkey sausage, I've been able to fool my family and make it taste like pork. But in fact, it's turkey. Now, I'm not going to tell you that that's a perfect product, and it has its own problems and its own ingredients that I just try not to look at. But sometimes when my husband wants ham, then ham it is. And so to me, it's been a little bit of a compromise, and he hasn't known that, you know. So I've been able to. Now, I think some people might notice the difference, so I can't guarantee. And that is a compromise. So I do think God will protect us, and when we honor him by submitting to our husbands, he will always come up with a solution to our problem.
Absolutely. That's very good. Absolutely. Okay.
Right.
All right. Are you ready for another one?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Now this one, one of the emails was about a condition that I've never heard before, and I believe it's pronounced like this. It says, what do I do about, I think it's vitiligo. Vitiligo?
That's fine.
Right?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Vitiligo, I think. Yep. I'm not sure either. Okay.
What do you do about it?
Well, what is it? It's a pigment disorder where your skin loses pigment, and usually it's on your skin, maybe your arms or your chest or your neck or your face. You know, a lot of the times that happens.
Sure.
And sometimes it'll even be losing pigment in your on your hair, or maybe even losing your eyebrows or things. But most of the time it's just patches of white skin. So now that I've said that, you've probably seen someone that has patches of white skin. I had to look this one up. I had this question by email. And it is an autoimmune disorder. And so we have, again, the body attacking itself. And so in a way, it's very similar to the allergies question that you asked earlier. Now, according to what I've read, there's no cure for any autoimmune disorder. That's what the medical community will tell you. So now let me give you some of the stuff that my research has said. And I guess this isn't a cure, but here's some things that can prevent it from getting any worse, and some people say even get some of the pigment back. And the first one is sunshine, and we haven't talked about sunshine yet today. I think that's on our list. But sunshine helps because it increases the levels of vitamin D in your skin, and you need vitamin D to fight autoimmune disorders. They fight infection in your body, and they also counter that inflammation that's going on. Your body's inflamed, and it's just attacking itself, and then the more it attacks itself, the more inflamed it gets, and it's just this vicious cycle. And meanwhile, it's destroying these pigment cells, and you're getting splotchier and splotchier. And so I would say my first answer is get out in the sun, and that's the opposite of what you're going to hear in the medical establishment. They're going to say stay out of the sun, put on sunscreen, put on a hat. And I say for getting vitamin D, the best way to get it, the most efficient way, is to get out in the sun at noontime and get some sunshine on that skin. But second, you can also get vitamin D through things such as cod liver oil. And I know that sounds disgusting, but it's a great supplement, and it's you want to get a high-quality one that's high in vitamin D, and you also can get it from coconut oil. So coconut oil is also all in its own. Not only does it supply a lot of vitamins, but it has things in it that inhibit these autoimmune processes in your body, and they also it stimulates your other parts of your immune system, like your T cells. And it you can put it on your skin. You can rub it on, which feels good, and you can take it internally, and it will help that way. So coconut oil, cod liver oil, I think I have one more thing written down here, and that is digestive enzymes. And we've been talking about enzymes over and over again. Wouldn't you believe that enzymes can help you fight an autoimmune disorder? And they do that because they reduce inflammation. So you could, you know what, if you have an autoimmune disorder, you probably bumped up that ladder a little bit. And while you should include as many enzymes as possible in your diet, you should also probably take some as a supplement. That's what I would do. So did that help?
Yeah,
you want to boost
awesome.
Your immune system. Pretty easy, really. And
yeah.
And coconut oil, boy, that would be nice on your skin.
That's
no matter
good
who
stuff.
You
yeah, I've been putting that on my face. I love it.
It's actually wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, well,
right.
Good. Well, next question. Let's see here. We're still 10 minutes from 3 o'clock from the next drawing, right?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And
yeah.
So, hands waving. So.
Yeah, so how about we talk a little bit about, we had a question that came in from one of the listeners, and in regards to one of the websites, the materials that you have on your website, and that you have gained a lot of wonderful information, research throughout the years over. And the question that came in, they were just asking about. They were very appreciative that you have stood on God's word, and have. You know, that his word is the authority, and that you've established that from the very beginning of the classes. And the question was kind of, there was some confusion there. Why, you know, were you, suggesting that you would go to the Weston Price organization for some help, for some advice, when they clearly don't have a biblical approach. It's more in science and human reasoning that their approach is. And so, anyway, if you can kind of clear that up, that would be wonderful.
Sure.
And 'cause I know that, yeah, I'll let you go from there.
Okay, so if I understand it correctly, the question is that we say to get our answers from God's word, and then we turn around and we get our answers from basically a humanist organization that doesn't believe in God at all, and they're very evolutionary minded. And
yeah, you said that a lot better than me.
Yes. No, I can relate to that question. I certainly can. Well, since we have a minute, let me just give you a little bit of my testimony and where God has led me. And in around the year, let's see, when was my third child was born in the year 2000. So it was somewhere after the year 2000, I started researching health really heavily on the internet. And the internet was much more available, starting to become more available in 2000 and around in there, at least for me it was. And I found the Weston Price organization. I don't even know how I found them. I suppose I'd like to say God led me to them. But back then, I wasn't very careful about where I got my information. I was more careful then than I was maybe 5 years even before that, when I would get information from anywhere and anyone and say, well, I'm a Christian. I can get information from anyone I want to, and I'll be fine. I can spot a problem. I know I can. And I would go to the library, and back then, oh, more so even, or I would read things on the internet or listen to a speaker, and I would know that person would tell me right up front. Let's say they were into the New Age movement, and they believed in meditation, or they believed in channeling spirits, or I had one person I was getting advice from that was a Wiccan witch, and I would say, you know what, I know that person doesn't believe in God, but that's fine. I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I can get good advice from that person, and I'll be fine. And quite honestly, Kathy, I wasn't fine. And
yeah.
We made some pretty serious mistakes and some things that could have been horrible if God had not had mercy on us and protected us. And it is mercy, because it was wrong of us. And I think of Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the seat of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord. And when it comes to the Weston Price Foundation, this listener is exactly correct. They do not believe in God, and I have corresponded somewhat with Sally Fallon in the past, and I don't want to put her in a bad light. I don't know her personally, just some short correspondence with her, but she does not claim to be a believer in any way, shape, or form. And so this listener, or this person that emailed me, is right that we need to be careful. And now, when I go back to Psalm 1, I think we find our answer in verse 2. It says, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And what happens is we have to get ourselves into God's word. And specifically, that verse says into His law. And that's what we've been doing through this class. We need to go back to the beginning of the Bible. And we need to find out what does God say about, specifically about health, as we're talking here, but really, and if we're going to be protected, we need to find out what He says in His law about every area of our life. And we need to, you know, I think it's good for us to take a piece of paper or a journal, and over the months that it takes to study this out, we need to write a list of these are the laws that I'm not following, and God says I should, and He will bless me if I do, and we need to know what are His laws and how do we follow them. And then when you go to the internet, whether it's the Weston Price Foundation, whether it's other good websites, I mean, no matter who it is, it could be someone medical. It could be something you just find on Google, just looking through something on the internet. You need to know God's word so well that as soon as somebody says something that contradicts it, you need to immediately get out of there and not have anything to do with it. Now, having said that, I think God has somewhat protected the Weston Price Foundation. I have gone through their website quite thoroughly, and the only thing that I have found that they recommend that goes against God's law is that they don't have a problem with pork or with shellfish or with some of these unclean foods. And so when I hear advice on their website, and it isn't very often on there, that it's okay to eat those, I don't listen. I know that God's word says otherwise, and so that's when there are some other thing that I can think of on their website is that there are a few doctors that are on their board that would recommend maybe meditation or some of these New Age things. And they don't recommend it right on their website. You have to actually buy some books from them. And so you have to be careful. You have to be and don't get those things in your house. Don't even be tempted by it, because they'll have a good argument and you'll say, well, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe it's okay. I can play with fire a little bit and I won't be hurt. And I can guarantee God's word says no. I set before you this day life and death. Choose life. Don't have anything to do with the gods of this world. And so I appreciate this listener bringing up her concern, because that it really, whether it's the Weston Price Foundation or anyone that you get advice from, you are responsible to know God's word yourself and to know what it says and to compare it. I'll be quiet for a second. Am I answering the question?
No, that's excellent. This writer also had some questions on soy. Do you want to tackle that now, or would you rather wait until after the next drawing?
Let's wait a couple minutes. And I see a question from a listener. Let me grab that question real quick, and then we'll do another drawing. Okay.
Okay.
All right. I think this might be from our friend Tracy.
Yes.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Okay, I found my list of questions, but I also had something concerning the last one that you just talked about with the Sally Fallon and Nourishing Traditions and Weston Price. They talk a lot about the organ meats and the liver, and I'm not especially knowledgeable, but it seems to me like there would be a lot of blood in those.
Yes. Yes. Good question.
So I really don't like those things, and I would love for you to tell me, yeah, I don't need to eat those. That would be great.
Very good question. Excellent question. I'm so glad you brought that up. Do you want me to answer that one and then tackle your next questions after our next giveaway? Would that work?
Sure.
Okay. So, all right. I'll mute you out so you don't have to worry, okay? And then
thank
I'll
you.
Get back to you. Okay. All right. I've got her muted out, so I think she's got little ones in the background, and I know that's hard when you're trying to talk to somebody on the internet. Organ meats, liver, kidney, heart, brain, yes, they do recommend those. And Tracy, I have to be honest with you, I just started asking that question myself just since we've been doing these classes. I hadn't thought about that before. And if you go to my website And this is, again, where I hope all of you will not even take my word for anything. But if you go to my website and look at the list of supplements that I recommend, I have on there liver pills. And I have been taking liver pills for quite a few years now, and because I really don't like liver, and I just don't like the flavor of it. I liked it when I was a kid, and I don't like it now. And it just kind of grosses me out. Yeah, it's the blood thing maybe. And so I've been buying, you can get pills of liver, and I'm thinking, oh, that's a good way to get my liver in me, and I can get all these B vitamins, and they're so good for me. Well, just a few weeks ago, I was looking at the bottle of my liver pills, and I saw that they are in pork gelatin capsules, and I went, oh, no. How am I going to get my liver if they're in pork gelatin capsules? And I'm like, and I recommend them. And honestly, I have not gone on my website and taken it off yet. I hadn't even remembered it, but I should. So at least that company, I don't know if you can get liver pills from another company that have beef gelatin or vegetable gelatin. But anyway, the one I was using had pork. Well, that brought up another question. I said, well, I wonder why liver, you know, I kind of questioned it. I said, it seems like liver cleanses the blood and it would be full of a lot of toxins. I wonder why liver is so good for you. And so I grabbed my Bible and I did a real quick study trying to find out if liver was something that we are allowed to eat or not allowed to eat. And I'm going to tell you what I found, and I guess you're going to all have to go and do your own homework. And maybe someone will be kind enough to email me their opinion on this. I would love to hear it. But I looked in the Bible, and it seems to me that when they brought a sacrifice in the book of Leviticus, they were to remove the fat that was around the kidneys and around the internal organs, and it doesn't mention the liver one way or another, but I know that the liver is right in there in that part of the body, and they were to remove it, and they were to burn it, and they were not to eat it, and it said anyone that ate that fat was to be cut off. So my answer is, I wish a butcher would call in to the show or email me and tell me if the liver really is in that bunch of organs in a cow that would have been removed. And then where does that take brain and tongue and heart? My first response would be, I think maybe we should be cautious because the blood is in there and we're not to eat the blood. And the blood is full of toxins. So Tracy, I'm not answering your question. My answer is I don't know. And I think we should be cautious. And it seems like several of us are asking the same questions at once. And maybe I need to take that off my website until I have a better answer. But I think that is something I haven't been taking the liver pills for a while now, or for those couple weeks. So I don't know. What do you think, Kathy?
Well, I mean, if you follow through the logic of it with not eating blood because of the importance of having clean blood and the toxins being in the blood. I mean, the logic of it would make sense that we shouldn't. But I was raised on, well, that doesn't make a difference. I mean, I was raised on a farm. We was raised to have that, you know.
But I don't know.
I don't either. I mean, the Bible's pretty clear about not eating blood. I mean, it's very clear. And God has, I mean, He looks out for us, protects us, and looks out for us. And it's not to eat it.
You know, in Acts 15, it mentions for the new believers there, it doesn't go into all of the clean and unclean foods, but it does mention the blood. And so it makes a big red flag go up. I know Weston Price himself, when he traveled around the world, when he got into Africa, they found some different people groups that were drinking blood straight and were recommending it for women in their childbearing years. And so when I get to that chapter of Weston Price's book, and he's a strong believer in evolution, and if any of you have started reading through his book, you've seen that he is huge into evolution. And so I just get to that section and go, you know what, that man just doesn't know God and he doesn't know. But boy, that I can see the danger here of a lot of things because if someone wasn't firm in what God's word says, they could easily.
Right.
Well, anyway, you've made me think, Tracy. I really appreciate
that question.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Well, boy, these are heavy questions. Let's take a break and have a giveaway. And you wouldn't believe what my giveaway is. You're making me laugh.
I knew what it was.
Yes, the giveaway is the book, Nourishing Traditions. And And it is by Sally Fallon. It is the cookbook that challenges politically correct nutrition. There are no blood recipes in here that I know of, but there are recipes for beef liver and for pork. So, however, there are, I would have to give her credit that in the beginning of her book, she talks about the Jews and how they had a clean diet and how they didn't have health diseases. And she recommends that you eat pork in moderation or very little because of the research done on the Jews. And I think that's, I give her credit for at least acknowledging that. But this is a very good cookbook. It's a cookbook, but almost everybody I know of that loves it because of the side columns that are on each recipe. There's just neat little stories and all these amazing little tidbits of information. And this book is, let's see how many pages. My copy is almost 700 pages of recipes and just a real education for those of us that don't know how to make yogurt or don't know how to make soup or all these things. It's just a great book and it gives you everything you can ever imagine. So it's a very fun book and I still recommend it, even though we have to put those little qualifications on it. I think that anyone's going to love this book, and so I'd like to give it away. I don't see, I'm looking here to see if we have anyone that wants to be a taker, and I need to give the phone number again. If you are listening and you would like to win, I am going to give you the phone number. Sorry. It is 646-727-1642. And one more time, that's 646-727-1642. And I have listed here, I can see that there are some people on, they're listening by their computer speakers, and I'm wondering how you are going to win. I'm going to try real quick here to open the chat room again. I haven't tried for a few minutes, and maybe it'll work for us. But no, it's not. We're having some technical difficulties. So if you are listening, I can see there are several of you here. Feel free to call in and try to win this book. And I am not seeing anyone yet. So, Kathy, we're going to have to hang on there.
Okay.
And see what we get here. Maybe everyone's just trying to figure out how to do this. So, well, while they're doing that, I have something I wanted to talk about today. Kathy, do you mind if I take a second and do that?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about sunshine, and we talked about that really earlier today, and it's getting to be springtime, and
mm-hmm.
I live in Minnesota, and boy, do we love the springtime with the sunshine. Boy, it's really nice. We had such a beautiful week this week, and I just want to talk a little bit about sunshine and encourage you guys, because I could probably talk for an hour about this. It's one of my favorite subjects, and I better not do that. So you can go to my website, and there's an article on light and dark. And if you click on articles, you'll see one that's called Light and Dark, and it's all about sunshine and how God created the world. And when he did so, he regulated the amount of sunshine that we would receive, and it gives us amazing health. And some of the things that the sunshine helps us with, it gives us vitamin D. It helps us our immune system, which we talked about that earlier. It helps our adrenal glands. It helps our circadian rhythms, which that helps our thyroid. So any of these problems we've been talking today, you would be helped by getting out in the sunshine. And they have proven that the two times a day you need to be in the sunshine is first thing in the morning. You need to have that sun coming in your eyes and looking at it. And that just, for any of you that have trouble waking up in the morning, that's something so simple. If you can drag yourself out of bed and get yourself out in that sun early in the morning, not only we go, oh, this is wonderful, but that sun coming in your eyes will actually help change your body clock and make you more of a morning person and less of a night person, which is such a simple thing to do. And secondly, the other time you need to be out in the sun is at noon. And that's when the sun is, I say noon, but we are actually on daylight savings time here in Minnesota, and it's more like 1 o'clock. But when the sun is highest in the sky, you need to get out there and let the sun beat down on your skin. And it's an absorbable form of vitamin D that you can't get through any supplement as efficiently as you can just by going out in the sun and maybe doing a little gardening, maybe doing a little walking. And so anyway, that's my little pitch for the sunshine today. So I wanted to get that in there.
Yeah, it lifts your spirits too.
It does. Mm-hmm. And you know the whole time you're doing that, God created it, and that's his gift. It's just a neat gift that he gave us. Well,
That's awesome.
I have no one calling in for that book, so we're going to set that aside for the moment. And I wanted to talk to Tracy. She said she had some more questions. I hope this is a good time for Tracy, but she said she had a list of things. So let me get her on. All right, Tracy, hi again.
Hello.
All right, I'm ready for questions. Shoot away.
Well, a couple of them were more requests, I guess, than questions, but you mentioned somewhere on your website about healthy cookies.
Yes.
I was hoping for a recipe.
For cookies. Got it. Okay, we can do that.
I've got cookie recipes, and I've substituted ingredients, but I've never done it with the two-stage process, so I was hoping maybe you could help with that.
Okay. All right.
Also, I was hoping that maybe you could give us just a simple one-week breakfast, lunch, and dinner typical menu for you. Not necessarily with recipes, but just kind of an idea. I'm fairly new to this. I've been making changes slowly. I have 5 children, and just the logistics of getting it all done and, you know, just there's just too many things, it seems like. I keep trying just, you know, one new thing each month, but between making stock and grinding my own wheat and having to travel to a farm to get the raw dairy because it's illegal in my state and just everything, you know, it'd be nice to have some simple tips on what to eat for breakfast, lunch, and dinner that's easy.
Absolutely. Excellent question. All right. I will do my best. Okay. I'm going to mute you and just hit number one if you want to say something, okay?
Okay. Thanks.
All right. We are, boy, this is fun. Okay. Healthy cookies. Mm-hmm. And she asked if I've ever used the two-stage process, which is what she means by that is if you soak the flour overnight to deactivate all the enzyme inhibitors so that you can really get the nutrition out and you're not going to be blocking your thyroid gland and causing all kinds of problems. So how do I make cookies with a two-stage process? So, okay, Tracy, I've got some bad news for you. I can't get it to turn out with the two-stage process, not with cookies. Anything that I use that is a short baking time like cookies or muffins or banana bread, I'm trying to think of some other things that are short like that and don't have any yeast in them. But I'm sorry, I don't have the answer on two-stage, but here's what I do. I will sprout my flour and then dry it out and then grind it. And now I have like a malt flour. And it says if you have the Nourishing Traditions cookbook, you want to look up bulgur flour, and it's called B-U-L-G-U-R. And look up some of her recipes that use bulgur flour. And I don't know why they call it that in the book. I didn't find it for quite some time because I didn't know to look for that. I was looking for sprouted flour or something like that. But she calls it bulgur flour, and I just sprout it, and it tastes like malt a little bit to me. And then in turn, I can go and take any cookie recipe that I've ever used, and I will substitute my sprouted and dried flour and substitute a better sugar, make sure that the fats that I'm using in it are good, such as butter or coconut oil. Both of those are divine in cookies. I don't know which one I like best. In brownies, I like coconut oil. It's just so good. And most of the time, I probably use butter because it's probably, I don't know why. I think I just do. The only thing that it makes a difference is sometimes the oil spread out a little bit. The cookies will maybe spread out a little bit on the pan more than when I used way back in the day when I used Crisco. But otherwise, they taste good. I've never had anyone complain about how good they are. They're very good. So what I do is I have some family recipes that are favorites. For instance, Toll House cookies. I don't know how many of you guys have ever had Toll House chocolate chip cookies, but that's a family favorite for us. And instead of making little tiny cookies, we spread it in a 9x13 pan and cut them up into like bars. And that's something that we like. You can, instead of using chocolate chips that have soy lecithin in them, you might want to just get a block of good quality chocolate and shave off some bits and pieces, and I promise you no one will complain because it will taste so good. And secondly, mm-hmm. you can use a really good sugar such as succinat or unrefined sugar, rapadura sugar, some of those that are listed in on my website or Nourishing Traditions. And that raises the expense of the cookies once you do that. In all honesty, I figure sometimes that I am making cookies and I already know that they have sugar in them, and so maybe I'll use half brown sugar and half of a more of expensive quality sugar. So that's a compromise that I sometimes make. So now I've told on myself. And then thirdly is to use a good flour, and they're good. They're good cookies. That's what I do. And I've made chocolate chip cookies or oatmeal raisin cookies. Or those are my two favorites that I like. So, Kathy, do you have anything you want to add? Because I know you were using the sprouted flour. How did that turn out for you?
Actually, we made some banana muffins and banana bars from that. It was excellent with it. And so I know it works well for that. In fact, I've gone through a kick where I make oatmeal muffins a lot,
mm-hmm.
And it's really good with the wheat flour in there. And then you can put, we put strawberries in ours. We've kind of gone in a kick where we put, sometimes it's raisins or bananas we'll put in our oatmeal muffins, but we've gotten into a kick where we put in strawberries, frozen strawberries, and just chop them up and makes it really moist and really good.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I should add, I do actually, when I make muffins, a lot of the times I will soak those overnight because I put oatmeal in my muffins a lot, and oatmeal is
mm-hmm.
one of the things that probably should
right.
be soaked.
And they
turn out just great. You know, soak them in a
mm-hmm.
little bit of milk or yogurt or water with yogurt in it if you don't have any raw milk available. And
mm-hmm.
And they turn out really yummy. And I don't use the sprouted flour for muffins. What else do I? Banana bread I like using the sprouted flour
mm-hmm.
for. The hardest part, Tracy, if you're just getting started in this, the hardest part is actually thinking ahead 2 or 3 days to sprout the flour and then dry it and then grind it. And that is my hardest part. And then add to that I don't really enjoy being in the kitchen that much and making cookies, and then you add in 5 or 6 kids in the kitchen while you're making cookies, and that can feel like a huge endeavor. So what I do personally is I make myself schedule a time to make cookies with my children. I know it sounds like I've taken all the fun out of being spontaneous. I'm not really a very creative mother, and I can get my nose in a book or into my own things and totally ignore my family. And so I have to schedule a time, say, this time on this day is cookie making time, and I tell my kids, and of course they're happy to nag me, and then I can count back. Let's say a good time for us to bake is Fridays. We do this a lot on Fridays. And Friday afternoon, our schoolwork is done for the week, and we've got our house cleaning done, and so we do some baking. And my kids know that's Friday, and there is no way in the world they would ever let anything come into that time, so I can't get off the hook. But then I take my menu, and on my side of my refrigerator, I have every day of the week listed. And so I know Friday is cookie day, and so I have to count back and figure out, okay, which day do I need to start spreading the flour? And that's just a list, and it goes on my calendar. And so I know that on this day I must start. And, okay, now which day do I have to actually put it in the oven to dry it out for a few hours? And which day do I need to dry it? Or, I'm sorry, I said that one. Which way do I need to grind it? Okay. And all of these steps, if I miss one of those steps, we won't have good sprouted flour on Friday. And so then we're using wheat or white flour or just regular wheat flour, and I'm feeling really guilty. I'm a bad mom. And so the only way it works for me is to schedule it out, to think ahead and put it on the side of the refrigerator and make myself do it because the thing said I had to. And that has helped me. When you asked me kind of the same idea, what's a week of typical food for us? And I'm a boring person, so I think I can answer this question pretty well because we aren't very exciting, especially breakfast and lunch. That's really easy. Let me just start there. I have a menu that says, for instance, we always have my husband has off on Mondays, so Monday morning now is our yummy breakfast. That's going to be our pancakes or our waffles
mm-hmm.
or our crepes or things that have a little bit more work, and that's like a special morning for us in our family. So that's always on Monday. Tuesday's always oatmeal. Wednesday's always soaked cream of wheat. Thursday's always oatmeal. Friday's soaked cream of wheat. I do those two a lot because they're easy, and I put them in my crock pot and they're ready in the morning. Well, not the soaked cream of wheat, but that cooks very quickly in a pot in the morning. So those are just school morning breakfast for us. We have oatmeal, cream of wheat. That's something our family likes. And then my older children like to get up and make omelets. And so sometimes they'll make omelets on a school morning. I don't always have time for that, but they are good at helping with that. And then we generally have muffins on Saturday morning because that's a morning I don't really want to be in the kitchen working. I want to be resting. So I've made them ahead. And they are all ready to go, and either I'll pop them in the oven and bake them very quickly, or they're already baked and we just warm them up real quick. So that's an easy morning. I don't want to be in the kitchen every day. So, but we always have the same thing on the same day every week. I'm so boring, but that helps me a lot because then I know that when I wake up in the morning, breakfast is ready. And so it wouldn't really matter what you made. The point of it is find something that your family likes. Some people don't like oatmeal, and so some people will make like a breakfast bar, and I have if I don't have a recipe, I make a note to myself right now to get one on there because I have one here on my computer. It would just take a second to upload a breakfast bar recipe that's quite yummy and is prepared properly. And so that's something, you know, for people that used to eat energy bars and things in the morning, they can substitute that. Or a lot of families will eat smoothies in the morning. And anyway, we save our smoothies at our house for dessert after supper. That's a common dessert here. Okay, so for lunch, I have to tell you, I'm boring again. I have one of two choices. I do my baking again on Fridays, and that's when I'm making bread. And I make bread for that on that day for the entire week because I just don't really want to have to deal with it any other day. And so that means on Thursday, I'm grinding my flour in the afternoon and getting it soaking so it can soak for a good long time because I make a soaked bread recipe. And I always do that on Thursday, so it always reminds every Thursday I just do it. It's a habit. And then on Friday I've baked bread, but I bake enough bread that it lasts us. For our family, I'm usually making 4 or 6 loaves, and it will last us for the week. But what I was going to say is my other – so my standby for lunch is either your old-fashioned sandwiches, but secondly is soup. And a lot of times when I wake up in the morning, as soon as breakfast is over, while the kids are helping with dishes, I'm starting a pot of soup on the back of the stove, and I don't want to think about it very long. So I've got stock that's made, and all of those, I have to have a day that I make stock, but I make enough of it that it lasts me a good month or more so that I don't have to do it all the time. And I put it in my freezer. But anyway, I'll pull out a mason jar of some chicken stock or beef stock and throw in a few vegetables, and I have my kids helping me with this. They're chopping and throwing it in, and it only takes a few minutes, and we've got soup on the back of the stove, and that's for lunch to go with our bread. Or the third thing is leftovers, and we do a lot of leftovers, and that's a time saver when we have a busy day, and that's what we did today for lunch was leftovers, and we'll add some fruit to that, maybe add some raw cheese, add some yogurt with a little bit of good jelly that doesn't have any MSG or natural flavors or corn syrup, and mix that in with our yogurt. And let's see, what else do we eat? That's pretty much all I can think of. Sometimes I will make some homemade tortillas and we'll make a quesadilla, but I don't do that a lot because that's a little bit more work than normal, and I'm pretty lazy. And then supper, I always do my grocery shopping on Thursdays, on Thursday evenings, and almost always. And so Thursday morning, I know that when I'm done with sitting down with my kids and doing their schoolwork, that my next job, I work on my newsletter that I send out to all of you guys on Friday, but the other job I have on Thursday is to make my grocery list. And I make a menu for my suppers. And I have found that the best advice is to find 10 to 15 recipes that you love and your family loves, and then go and substitute ingredients for them that are healthy ingredients. Now, that means when you're just starting out and you're just changing over to a healthy diet, maybe you're going to switch to, instead of buying Hamburger Helper, you would maybe now buy pasta, which is still not perfect, okay? You're going to buy your own pasta and make your own sauce, and you need to have the recipe for that. So when you're just getting started out, this is a job. It does take time, but you want to make yourself a cookbook of your own, and you want to have it in your kitchen. And in this cookbook, you're going to have those 10 or 15 recipes that you know you like and that you know the ingredients are better. Okay, they still might not be perfect, but they're better. And you know how to make those recipes, and you're going to just cycle in and out of those 10 or 15 recipes. And I'm so boring, I have it down to, I know that I always have crock pot recipes on Wednesday, for instance, or we always do Italian on another night. I mean, we're really boring. I can't use that much energy every Thursday to come up with an entire new menu every single Thursday. I just don't have that much energy. So I have it down to maybe an American food one night and an Italian food another, and Mexican food one night, and a crock pot this, and we kind of rotate between just a couple of those recipes, and my kids and my husband they get some variety. And then the final trick is I make myself try one new recipe every single week. And that's my new one. And sometimes it gets vetoed and we go, never again. And other times we love it. And it get, then if we love it, I just have to take 5 minutes to take my, usually I printed it off the internet, and I have to now add it to my cookbook. And so that it's there, and now it can become one of my staples. And over a few months, you will develop a cookbook of your own with your own recipes, with your own ingredients that have been substituted. And on your recipes, you need to say, you know, 2 days before this, I need to start doing this job so that I know I have what I need, or one day now before. And when you make your menu and you put that on your refrigerator every week, you know, if it's Wednesday night, you're going to have a crock pot recipe and it needs chicken stock in it, you need to write down, make sure that I have chicken stock made, okay, and secondly, that it's defrosted if it's been in the freezer. And so all of those things all end up on my menu. I need to have a spot for all your preparation jobs. And by the way, Tracy, I don't know if you were able to listen to week number 6, I think it was. Yes, week number 6. If you'll go to my website and go to the page for class number 6, there are some downloads there. I have my menu form that I use, and I have, can't remember what all there is there, but you will see some handouts and downloads that will hopefully help you. And if I'm missing something and you have some ideas of something you need, just shoot me an email and I'd be happy to get you a recipe. And I will try to put up for you later today, hopefully by this evening, I'll try to put up my cookie recipes for you and that breakfast bar recipe. So I have that written down to do, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll have that up there by tonight. So, okay, Kathy.
That was really good. that was good to feel the organization of that, because I struggle every week on what to get at the grocery store, and I know better than to go without a list, but I do sometimes, and then I come home and 2 days later it's like, okay, now what? You know, now what are we gonna make? So that's,
you gotta have
thank
a menu.
You.
You've got to have a menu. You've got to have that boss in the kitchen that's telling you what to do, because at 5:30 at night, you're too tired to think through what to do. You've got to have someone, that little bossy menu going, no, this is what you're supposed to do. Oh, fine, I'll grind flour. I don't feel like it. And it's so funny, because it only takes a couple minutes to do that job, but I dread it. and it's so silly. It's just turning it on. And so I have to have somebody telling me what to do. And I think of the Proverbs 31 woman who had servants. And in my opinion, my menu is my servant, my refrigerator is my servant, my dishwasher, all those things, and they're my servants.
Good.
And you got to have, you know, the manager saying, do this, do that. Mm. So,
that's good.
Anyway.
Very
okay.
good.
All right.
Okay.
Kathy, did you, do you have any other questions? Yeah.
I still have several questions. I'm trying to decide what's probably, they're all very, very important. I don't know that we've touched on the microwave ovens very much, have we? I know that, do you want to mention a little bit about the microwave ovens and the why they're not good to have or to use in moderation? Or?
Sure. Okay. I feel bad. I cringe as I say some of these things because I'm afraid there are listeners going, oh, not another thing that I have to change. Oh, no. But okay, I will be honest with you and tell you what I honestly think, and I'm going to have to be honest again and say that we have had a microwave in our kitchen for quite some time. We got rid of it, and then we brought it back. We put it out, I guess we put it down in the basement. We put it in storage for several months, and then we brought it back up again.
It's like a TV.
Oh, yes, it's like that. It's that. I'm starting to think if you ever decide you don't want to have a microwave, the only way to do it is just chuck it because it'll find its way back in the kitchen again. But let me tell you a little bit about a microwave oven. There were studies done by the Russians because their reactions to Chernobyl and all of the radiation problems that they've had over there. They have been the country that has done the most studies on microwave ovens. And they have found that when you heat food in a microwave, the liquid, especially the water part of it, the reason it works is it violently shakes the water and the molecules just go crazy and they're just millions of times in a second. That's how violent it is, that the water is shaken. And as of course, when you shake something and you have friction, and that friction heats it, and it happens really quick, and it's so convenient. But From what I understand, and I hope I'm not saying this wrong, from what I understand, microwave ovens are banned in Russia because of the studies that they have done on them. They're not even allowed to be sold there. I hope I'm not saying that wrong, and if someone has some different information, just correct me. Feel free. But one of the reasons they're so dangerous is because when those molecules are shaken at that violent speed, it actually changes the molecules, and it becomes a toxin. And I think if we go back to week number two, and we talked about all that anatomy and physiology, when your body doesn't recognize a molecule, it's a toxin. And so you can take the very best food in the world, put it in the microwave oven, and it's not really that food anymore. It has actually changed. And it happens, the worst things to heat in a microwave would be meat, root vegetables like potatoes and things like that, and milk. And they've done most studies on milk because there are a lot of moms that put a bottle in the microwave, and it's so convenient to warm up a bottle in there, and it's just a terrible thing. Now, here are some of the things that your body, how it would react. It treats this as a foreign object, okay, whatever food you're eating. And I don't have the notes in front of me, so I'm going off the top of my head. But if I recall, some of the symptoms of eating microwave food, and in Russia they call it microwave sickness, would be like fatigue, dizziness, low blood pressure. I don't have it in front of me. I'm so sorry. I should have been more prepared. But basically what happens is it harms your adrenal glands. And we've been talking about some of the problems that happen when your adrenal glands are off, and that can cause you to gain weight, and it can cause you to mess up your circadian rhythms. It can cause other people to have chronic fatigue and allergies and asthma and fibromyalgia and some of these problems that are huge in our culture. And it all could go back to the microwave oven. So it's not a good thing. And I feel like I'm the bearer of bad news, but, that's what I know. And, you know, if someone wants to learn more about that, I would recommend they go to Mercola.com, and it's Mercola.com, and type in microwave in his search engine there, and you'll get a lot of information. And I think he has probably the best information on that. So.
Wow, good. Well, when you mentioned that about the microwave, and you mentioned about adrenal fatigue or adrenal glands, we did have a email come in that talked about that. I mean, it didn't talk about the microwave, but it talked about that they have adrenal fatigue, which has not been diagnosed, but all the tests come back, they come back normal, but this definitely has the symptoms and a benign tumor on one of her adrenal glands. And her question was, how can she lose weight? And I know you just mentioned that, how it's something about the weight, and she says that her blood sugar drops if she doesn't eat a certain amount of food, a certain amount of calories. She's been tested for diabetes. Doesn't look like she has that, but her sugar drops dangerously low, which makes her wind up in the emergency room. So she's kind of in that, what does she do? I mean, she's said that she's gained 20 pounds in the last 3 months, and she's at a loss at what to do. And I know we've kind of talked about losing weight earlier, but I didn't know if this was a little bit different.
Right. It is... It depends on the person. Some people have very strong adrenal glands, and some people have very weak adrenal glands. And it sounds like this person has a weak adrenal system. And it's just a lot of that's how God's made us different. And we can gain weight for a lot of other reasons than just adrenal problems. In fact, some people with adrenal problems lose weight. So it depends. And I like it to... I'm not coming up with it. I'm looking here on the internet real quickly. So I guess my first answer would be, again, anytime you have something with adrenal fatigue, I have written quite a bit on that. And you can go to my website, annshealthplace.com, click on articles, and there are several right near the top on adrenal fatigue, because that's been one of my personal battles, has been with how to battle fatigue. And so I have written some things on that, and I'm going to send you there. But having told you that, there was a doctor, and his name is escaping my head at the moment. I'm so sorry. but anyway, he, I would say probably 50 years or so ago, did some studies on the adrenal gland and found out that people that have adrenal fatigue go through a series of steps. Basically, the first thing, if you have a healthy adrenal system, your circadian rhythms are going to be very reliable. You're going to wake up in the morning and go to sleep at night, not have any trouble with any of those things. And that doesn't fit very many people. most of us, we complain about being night people or this or that or the other. But anyway, and then they would have a healthy metabolism. They would not be overweight or underweight. They would have a healthy blood pressure, and it would be around 120 over 80. And they would have a healthy body temperature, which would average around 98.6. So you talk about someone that has a healthy adrenal system, and you're not going to find very many people in the world that actually have one. And but that's how you can know. And I think we talked about back in week two again about how, and some of the other weeks too, and how to monitor some of these things. And if someone had these symptoms, the first thing I would tell them to do is start taking their temperature and find out what's going on, because your temperature is going to tell you which body system's wrong. Is it your thyroid? Maybe that's making her gain weight. Is it her adrenal glands? Maybe that's making her gain weight. And I can't tell you because I don't know this person. So the only person that could find out is this person. And she could take her temperatures and again, go through our class, go through the homework, and there will be all of the information you need to do that. And I can, you know, it'll point you to that. But, okay, having said that, let's say someone, maybe the lifestyle they're leading, maybe they're running a rat race, or maybe they've got, you know, for whatever reason, their adrenal glands are starting to wear out, okay? It could just simply be our diet, or maybe they were born that way. But they're starting to wear out. And the crazy thing about adrenal fatigue is it shows up first as your adrenal glands pumping out too many hormones. And they pump the one that's famous is cortisol, and you might have seen commercials on TV for Cortislim. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what it does is it shuts off. I wouldn't recommend it, but it shuts. It tries to shut off the production of cortisol in your body so that it can rest your adrenal glands. And when you rest them, you start to lose weight. However, that product doesn't address the root cause, so I wouldn't ever recommend that one. But what I'm trying to say is that the first sign of adrenal fatigue is actually too much cortisol, and one of the classic, there are two classic signs of that. You might get a little hump of like a fatty substance right around across your shoulders and in your back of your neck, and if you have a little humpy spot there of extra little fat and padding, that's a sign that you're making too much cortisol. And the second one is body fat right around your abdomen, kind of just a pooch, you know, almost makes you look pregnant. And that, how many of us can say we have these problems? I mean, the majority of Americans really have these problems. But that's a sign of adrenal fatigue, because your body, your adrenal glands are exhausted, and in an effort to try to perk your body up, they actually produce more hormones. Now, if that continues and they keep doing that, you're going to wear them out, and then they shut it all off. And the classic sign of not making enough hormones is your blood pressure drops. And I know so many people that say, praise God, I don't have high blood pressure. I have low blood pressure. And I'm thinking, no, that's not a good thing. You don't have low blood pressure. And that's a sign that you've gone past. And now a lot of people, they'll never lose the weight that they got when they went through the first stage. They're still carrying all the weight around, but now their blood pressure is dropping and they're fighting this fatigue and this mental fog. And then when that happens, it also starts, it doesn't produce the hormones that are needed for your other body systems, such as estrogen and progesterone and thyroid. And so you get a whole host of problems when it all came down to, I'm starting to forget what the original question was. I think she was asking, how do you deal with losing weight if I have adrenal fatigue? And my first response is make sure that that's what it is by checking your temperatures and monitoring. Go through my class, the homework, and learn how to monitor your health and make sure that's the problem, because it could be something else, and I don't want to tell you wrong. If she's trying to lose weight, then I would go back to let's support the adrenal systems, let's support the thyroid and the hormones. Let's get all of those back in, and let's make sure we're not putting any neurotoxins in with our diet. And then finally, to go to my website, and because this is a huge topic, there are some specific things you can do to heal your adrenal glands and to rest them. And maybe go back and listen to the thing that we talked about with Elijah last week and how God helps us to rest and what he does, because that would be very helpful. I'm not sure I answered all her questions. Did I?
Yeah, it was just one question. So you did. Yeah, that was, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. Got my mind thinking and going off on a rabbit trail. So.
That's fine. I'm going to check you real quick and make sure I don't have a new question. I clicked off trying to find some stuff. Okay.
And I think you have.
Yeah, you have another prize to offer.
Oh, already.
Maybe you have
okay.
to come up with a good question.
Oh, goodness, I forgot the question. Yes, I never did give a question last time, Kathy. Maybe that's why no one called in. Oh, dear. Okay, guys, you have to keep me in line. A question for you all. Let's see, Kathy. I'm trying to...
We could go back to the first lesson.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the first two food
mm-hmm.
laws. Would that be good? Yes, that would be very good. Well, that's an easy one, too. You should know it if you've heard any of the classes. What are the two food laws from God's Word? And let me give you the number to call, and then I'll tell you about the prize. maybe they won't want it. No. Anyway, it's area code 646-727-1642. And then one more time, that's 646-727-1642. And this prize is actually one of my books, Kathy. It's called Juggling Life's
mm-hmm.
Responsibilities.
Excellent book. I have that.
Yeah, well, the basic idea is how do I get my priorities in line? I can't juggle everything. I don't know how to handle, you know, I've got kids, I've got a husband, I've got church responsibilities. I don't know what to do first, and I don't know what God's Word says I should do first. And the idea of this book is just take a look at your priorities and to say what does God's Word say about each of those, and how can you juggle them? And the reason we're throwing that in today is because I really believe that when our priorities are straight and when we have based our lives on God's Word, our health kind of falls in line. It's
mm-hmm.
just a side effect of trying to do what God's Word says. And maybe there's a mom out there that is really struggling with juggling everything and wants to know how to have help with maybe her marriage or maybe her parenting skills. Maybe our homemaking. Anyway, those are some of the topics that are addressed. And if you would, we will give a second here. And let's see. I have, this is new here. It looks like someone is using their computer. And we I'm not sure how to do this. Okay. I'm not sure how to do this talk show very well. You guys will forgive me. But it has the caller's name is Lois, and she's not actually calling. She's using her computer, and I don't know how to get her to answer the question.
Can she type in the answer?
Yeah, let me see if I can get this to work, guys. I'm going to she's the only one answering, so if we can't get her to type it, we're going to give it to her anyway. okay, I'm not getting the chat room to work right, and I think that's part of my problem. What do you think, Kathy? Should we just give it to her?
Mm-hmm. I know she knows the answer.
Okay, yeah, we're going to give it to her. Let's have her just go ahead and email me, and I see your thing here too, your username, and I will try to get in touch with you, and we will get you that book. I don't know how else
mm-hmm.
to do it. The answer, Kathy, why don't you answer for her?
The answer that Lois is giving us is eat green plants and keep the blood clean.
Keep the blood clean. Very good, Kathy. Mm. Thank you, Lois. Thank you for trying.
You put me on the spot the very first week.
Yes, I did. I remember that.
It's like, oh, keep me on my toes.
Oh, everyone, I tell you what, Kathy has been such a good sport putting up with me. So,
it's
well,
been
we,
fun.
Okay, we are winding down. We have not too much time left. And have we answered most of the questions,
no,
Kathy? Or do
most
we have
of them. I have like four left, and some of them are really short or shorter.
Okay.
Do you want me to give you a simple one maybe to start off with?
Yeah, let's do a simple one.
I think this might be a simpler one. We had one that was wondering what about serving sizes that their children eat as much as they do. And she was just wondering what's a normal serving size probably for a child and a normal serving size for an adult.
Oh, that's a good question.
As long as it's healthy. She's asking, is it okay that they eat? You know, whatever, same amount as I eat, you know, as long as it's healthy.
Oh, sure. Okay, good question. How much to feed our kids? Okay, well, that brings up a couple things.
oh, is this not going to be simple?
No, this is a fun one. my brain is going, and I'm thinking to myself that, you know, on TV and in all of the media, we are constantly told to watch our serving sizes. And we're told to make sure we don't eat too many calories. And I think I'm guessing maybe that the underlying question here is, how do I know how many calories are enough And really the thing we're worried about is obesity for our children. We don't want them to gain too much weight and eat too much. And but it, you said she's wanting to try to eat healthy food. So let's talk about calories for a second, because maybe that's really the question. And I guess I'm just going to come out and say that I don't think the calorie theory holds very much water. Because first of all, well, let's talk about bad food for a second. If we're going to eat something that is full of neurotoxins, okay, MSG and a whole list of neurotoxins that we gave you back in week four, if you're eating those foods, you cannot trust your body's signals, because those foods are designed to make you crave more of the same. In fact, that's one of the reasons that the food processors like them so much, is because they make you want more. You can't eat just one potato chip or one Dorito, or, you know, you just got to have another bowl of soup or anyway. And because they are neurotoxins, they are short-circuiting your body's natural way of telling you when you have had enough. And so really, if as long as you're eating bad food, you're really, boy, about the only thing you can do is count calories. And even then, I mean, honestly, that's just not the issue, is it? And really it comes down to malnutrition. A lot of the people that are gaining weight are malnourished. Their bodies are not getting the nutrients that they need. And so their bodies are turning down their thermostats. They're turning down their thyroid glands and their adrenal glands, saying, boy, this poor woman is not getting enough food, or this child's not getting enough food. So let's turn everything off, turn off everything we don't need, so, you know, we can keep her alive. And then when doing that, you tend to gain weight. And so, as long as we're eating bad food, just skip it all. You know, it's just, you can't eat that food. You just can't. But if you have made some changes in your diet and you're not getting those dangerous neurotoxins in your diet, you're eating good foods that are full of nutrients. And by the way, a lot of times full of healthy fats, such as coconut oil and butter and olive oil. And you're getting those. Well, you can now listen to your body, because your body is getting the nourishment that it needs, and it's going to tell you when you've had enough food and when you've had enough to drink, and you can listen to it. So, you know, I think back to that question you asked me earlier. Someone else was asking about eating when she's emotionally upset.
Right.
And that's why I wanted to bring out the neurotoxins there, is maybe she's just getting these signals that are not even correct signals. But if your kids are eating healthy food and you're feeding them good quality food that you made in your own kitchen, then I say let them eat until they're not hungry anymore. And for a child that's growing, maybe they actually need more than you would need as a grown-up, especially teenagers or young, you know, young children can go through spurts. They're not growing one day and they don't eat anything. Then the next day they're eating everything in sight. And so I think that as long as it's healthy food, you should just let them eat until they're satisfied. And not worry too much about. I wouldn't worry about serving sizes. That's my answer.
Cool.
Wait, I took a long time to answer an easy question. Sorry.
Okay, well, let's see how simple this one is.
Okay.
I'm sure this one's not simple. It's a question about snoring. What can I do about snoring?
Snoring. Oh, boy. Okay. Well, okay, Weston Price. We've talked about Weston Price today, and he was a dentist who traveled around the world. And he observed cultures and what they were eating in their natural habitat, or I don't know if that's the word, in their natural environment compared to nearby where maybe they were bringing in modern foods such as white flour and white sugar. And he was a dentist, so he was taking note of the sizes of their faces. So I think of snoring, I'm thinking if you're snoring, you probably have a facial structure that's not shaped right. And maybe that's because of diet when, you know, maybe before you were even born, maybe your mom didn't have the best diet or whatever and didn't know any better. I'm not saying blame it on mom, but, you know, it could be that there's a genetic component of somewhere down the line people were eating bad food and not getting good nourishment. And so the facial structure of the children isn't quite right, and so you have a tendency towards snoring. So a second thing I would think of is check your thyroid gland, because I do know if you have a low thyroid, sometimes one of the symptoms can be a lot of snoring. A sleep apnea would be another one that would go in. So check your thyroid, and you know, everyone should know by now, check your temperature to check your thyroid, and you can go and find out how to do that. So So maybe if it's something that's just your face is shaped wrong, there's really not a ton you can do about it. But maybe one, okay, some simple answers, maybe sometimes snoring can be because maybe your mouth is coated with some, you know, extra mucus. And so, you know, eating foods before bed that are, you know, like milk or sugar or things like that.
Ice cream,
exactly.
Yes.
Some of those things, you know, eating before bed might not help the snoring thing, but then that plays into the thyroid too. So, you know, check your thyroid. Maybe you just have some nasal congestion because of allergies or asthma. So it could be some things like that. So check your hormones. And is that an easy answer? I don't know. that was a good question. Thank you.
That was an excellent question. I have two more for you.
Okay.
Is that be okay? Does anyone else have a question?
I am not seeing anyone. So.
Okay. Nope. The next question is, how do you find the right doctor, or how do you encourage your doctor to look more for answers, you know, before prescribing a drug? So probably, you know, herbs or other alternatives in the medicine. So how do you find the right doctor, and how do you find a doctor that's willing to work with you?
Okay. Well, my quick answer would be to be your own doctor, in that you have to take responsibility for your own. You have to go do your own research. And a doctor, you know, they're under a lot of pressure right now with HMOs and insurance, and the government's now going to try to come in and tell them how to run their business. And they have extreme expenses, and they have a staff of people whose salaries they have to pay, and they have medical student loans, you know, from when they were in school for 9, 10, 12 years. And they're under huge pressure. And they have 10 minutes, you know, to spend with you.
Right.
And in that 10 minutes, you've got to solve all of your deeply pressing problems and convince that doctor to run lab work and give you exactly what you need for help. And quite honestly, that's not realistic to expect of any human being to be able to do all of those things for you. So my quick answer is to be your own doctor. And I don't mean to doctor yourself. I'm not saying that. I think it's but think of your doctor as your consultant. He's your friend. He's your, he or she. They're the person there that's there to help you. But when you go into the doctor, you need to be well informed. You need to be, you need to know as much as possible about what your situation is. And when you go in, say you have 10 minutes, take a list of symptoms, take a list of tests that you know you would like to have run, and make a case for why you think that you would be a good candidate for those tests. Or maybe you have discovered some alternative treatment. You don't really have to have a doctor's permission for that, but you should let them know that you're doing it, because it might make a difference in the tests that they run or any other medications that they might recommend. And remember, when they prescribe something, they're prescribing something, but they're not your boss. You can decide then if you actually want to take that medication or not, or you can take your prescription home for 2 or 3 days and do some research on your own and see if maybe, you know, that's up on the third rung of the ladder. Maybe you can think of something to do on the first or the second rung of the ladder, and maybe you want to try that for a few days. And then if that doesn't help, then maybe you can take your prescription in and fill it. But you don't have to do that. They're just giving you their recommendation, and they're your helper. They're not ruler of the world, you know. And they're so busy. They're just going to give you the quickest answer. So as much work as you can do to help them out, the better.
Mm-hmm. So. Excellent. I have one more for you from our listeners.
Okay.
And that one we touched on earlier. We didn't talk about it, but about soy, about soy products. I know that that's on the list of things. And remember when we went to the grocery store, I remember you telling us to avoid anything that had soy in it. And in the questions, there's several questions about soy. Basically, I'll just run through some of them. Is it the soy that is harming? Let's see. Is it the soy that is harming, or is it the GMO soy? Soy, which I mean, I don't understand what that means. I need you to explain that.
Sure. Okay.
Talks about is it really the pesticides and the herbicides that's associated with the soy, or is it the way we prepare it, or is it the combination of how we eat it? Anyway, there's just lots of questions about soy. So anything you can share in a few minutes about soy would be awesome.
Sure. Let's tackle soy, and that'd be a great way to end, because it's a great application of everything we've learned in our classes. All of the above would be my answer to this person. All of the above are problems with soy. I'm not a fan of soy. And however, we think we've all heard that way back in, we've talked about ancient wisdom, and we hear about in Japan that they ate soy for centuries and they have great health. And what is their secret? Why am I so against soy when it's a traditional food? Well, let me see if I can think of some of these things she asked. GMO soy, that's genetically modified seeds.
Okay.
Seeds that have been basically altered in a laboratory to maybe resist disease or to be able to produce a higher yield. And when they genetically modify, sometimes they take another actual created thing and implant it into. For instance, maybe they are going to take a gene from an animal and stick it into the plant. And, of course, now that's raising big problems with me personally, because in a biblical view, I know that God says that kinds are to reproduce with kinds. And that's way back in Genesis chapter 1. And so anytime I get into something that's genetically modified, I know that's not God's will. He says that kind is to be, you know. Anyway, that's the problem with that one. The pesticides and the herbicides, you're adding toxins that now your body has to filter out.
Right.
And on top of that, they have serious repercussions inside your own body. And they are, soy is almost always here in the United States treated with some of these things. And then, let's see, now how we prepare soy. Soy, that's another problem. We learned back in lesson 3, about enzymes and how enzymes need to be properly prepared. Am I saying that right? Basically, if it's a seed, which soy is a seed, it has inside of it an enzyme inhibitor, no different than my wheat or my oatmeal that we were talking about just a little bit ago. And it must be soaked or sprouted or in some way have that enzyme inhibitor deactivated, or it's going to become a toxin in my system. And in fact, soy is high in estrogen, but when it doesn't have that enzyme inhibitor deactivated, it messes with our estrogen and progesterone levels, and it's really bad for women, and it's really bad for babies and for growing kids, because it messes up their sexual reproduction. And so that's a bad thing. And it's in everything. It's in so many of our things. So which is the biggest problem, if it's genetically modified or if it's organic or if it's not properly prepared? Well, man, they're all problems. And most of our commercial foods that we're going to get when you go to the grocery store, they're going to fall into all of those categories, and I think it should be avoided. Now, if you live in Japan and you have fermented soy that's been properly prepared and had those grown on someone's own family farm, and then wow, go ahead and eat it, because it's a food that God made and it's a plant, and he says eat green plants. But here in the United States, that's difficult to get that in that form. So, did I answer that one?
Yeah, that is excellent. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we are winding down.
Oh no!
I know. It's been really neat. Maybe I should probably wrap it up. I think we didn't talk about skin care. That was something on my list, and I just mentioned that anything you put on your skin is going to be absorbed in, just like food, and you should probably be getting skin care that doesn't have any of those bad ingredients that are on that shopping list that we gave you. And there are some good brands. But anyway, you can go to my website and find out some more stuff about that. Basically, Kathy, this has brought us to the end of our 8 weeks of health classes. And I wanted to say, if anyone has some ideas of some recipes that they would like, I'm gonna post some cookie recipes and some breakfast bar recipes. I'll put them on my website today. If I'm able to, I'll have them up there by this evening, and you can come back and get those. It has really been fun to get to know all of you in the last 2 months, and I really appreciate your prayers and your emails. I am overwhelmed by how many of you have said, I can't listen live, but I've listened to the archives, and I just really appreciate your email. You guys have made it worth it all, and I'd really like to thank you, Kathy. You've helped me and kept my brain on track, and it's just been so much fun to talk to.
It has been so wonderful. I miss you so much, and this has just been a blessing to be able to spend these 8 weeks Wednesday with you.
It really has been. I'm going to miss it. We'll come up with something else to do, Kathy.
Yes, we'll have to.
Well, I've been asked what's coming up at AnnsHealthPlace.com, and right now we're working on a book for moms who are exhausted. And if God is willing and gives us the strength, we would like to release it by May. I can't promise that, but that's our goal. And the book is going to answer why are so many moms exhausted, and it's going to give suggestions for what you can do to get feeling better. And that's it for today. And we've been praying that God would richly bless your health. We have seriously been praying, and it has been on our daily prayer list, and Kathy and I have been praying together weekly. And I know he's shown me so many new things during this class time. I've been humbled. And I would love to hear how God has helped all of you as well. Please tell me how these classes have helped you. It's such an encouragement to me, and I'm sure it would be to Kathy as well. And if I could share those with her, and you guys just make our day when we hear that from you. So you can send me an email at any time from my website, and that's antshealthplace.com. And Kathy, thank you for joining me. And
you're very welcome.
We'll
thank
to say
you.
Goodbye.
So, goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now, and we'll hopefully be able to do some of this fun stuff again in the future. So good. Once again, this has been Ann Elliott from AnnsHealthPlace.com, and we thank you so much, everyone, for listening today.